Good morning, beloved. Again, thank you, brother, for reading that, and thank you for saying that it was a short reading. Some folks would consider that a lengthy passage, but I wanted to establish the context. This morning, I want us to focus, and before I move on, I want to thank Brother Hank for leading such wonderful songs, again, to establish the mood, to establish our frame of thought. Again, the songs that we sing are beneficial because if they are speaking truth, we need to hear that truth. And so this morning, I want us to consider a view of heaven, taking from Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. One of my favorite songs, I believe we've led it here before, is the Let the Lowly Lights Be Burning. And there's a part of that verse that I just want to, again, continue to build the mood of the sermon. And it goes, brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us, he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. This morning, we are not going to be basing our sermon off of this song that will come later. But I want us to focus on that lighthouse, the importance of that lighthouse, how it guides ships from the dark. It guides ships from the tempest. It guides ships that are in danger, calling them home, calling them to safety. You know, now that we've gone through Genesis and we've read and we understand these people that that Hebrews 11 speaks of a little better, I wanted to address this part of Scripture. You know, the power of hope. Hope can be something that is so motivating, so strong. And true hope is hard to destroy. I'm sure Brother Pinckney can relate to this, or if anyone who has ever taken a long road trip and you've stopped at Sonic and you've gotten a Route 44 drink, or you need to get out and you stretch your legs and you're really antsy to see this. And you have the hope of that exit. You can't wait for that exit. You're jittery, you're uncomfortable. You want to see that exit, and you have this sign which is promising an exit. Even though you may not see it with your eyes, you have something to hope for. You know, we continue to see our brethren. We continue to see those in Ukraine who they are fleeing their country. And there are news reports, and I've spoken to some of our brethren overseas, and they have spoken how much joy and hope that they were filled with when they saw the border crossing, when they saw the line of demarcation, meaning that they could get out of Ukraine, get out of harm's way, and into a nation that has promised to protect them. You know, those in Hebrews chapter 11, they had this hope. They had a hope in something grander, something bigger, something beyond themselves, something beyond this world. And even though they never saw that border crossing, even though they never saw that line, that sign saying exit here, they felt it in their hearts because they trusted in God. They saw it with their minds and they trusted in the promises of God, knowing that if they were faithful, that they would make it to heaven, that they would be with God one day. And so having a heavenly mindset is what we need as the church today. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, to gain some principles, some understandings of what we need to be thinking about, what kind of mindset we need to have. Rather, I should say, How does having a heavenly mindset affect us? And again, if you've been paying attention to our songs, you kind of know where I'm going with this. A heavenly mindset demands or allows us to see ourselves as pilgrims. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Where? On the earth. This morning, where is your heart? And no, I'm not at my conclusion already. I'm asking you, where is your heart? Because Matthew 6 and verse 21 tells us that wherever our heart is, that is where, or wherever our treasure is, that is where our heart will be also. The same chapter, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of men? No, but the kingdom of God. No, we must be thinking on the things of heaven. We must be thinking heavenly things and not on worldly things. The word stranger comes from the Hebrew word or the Greek word xenos. If you're into sci-fi movies, this is where you get that xenomorph of those aliens. But the Greek word has meaning. It means one that does not share in or without a share in. We don't have to share in the things of this world. We can be aliens from it. We can be separate from it. Again, moving into our next word, as the Hebrew writer says, they saw themselves as pilgrims. One on a journey, one away from their own people. You know, this morning we read and we saw how Abraham called himself a sojourner, a pilgrim. Abel, Enoch, Moses, Abraham, all those spoken of in Hebrews 11 made God their priority. They knew of something better. Something that they could not obtain themselves, that they could not create by themselves. And so they were on a journey to seek that place, to seek that betterment. You know, our focus must be about the journey. How are we traveling? How is our faith in the midst of our journey? Because no one in Hebrews 11 had an easy life. Being a Christian does not guarantee us an easy life. No, we have COVID. We have war. We have pain. And these things, they have a tendency to cause our mind to center in. And we internalize and we begin to focus on the here in the now because of the pain, the sadness, the war, the stresses. But we don't have to be like that. We don't have to be in the world. We don't have to care for the things of the world. Peter is speaking to the church, and he tells them in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, beloved, I beg you as what? Sojourners. And pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, we don't have to be thinking and acting like the world. Having this, seeing ourselves as pilgrims, changes how we see this world. We don't belong here. No, we can see this world in its true light. We don't need to be concerned about the same things that this world is concerned about. We just read, or we just sang the song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid where? Here in a 401k, here in Nashville. Here in no, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We need to believe that. We need to act it because it does us no good to sing this world is not my home, but yet we put more emphasis in the things of this world. We care more about the security of the things of this world than our spiritual security. You know, having seen ourselves as pilgrims, it changes how we see God's promises. You know, they are not just out of reach, but rather they are just over the horizon. Those in Hebrews 11, they, yes, some of their promises came to fruition. Some of them came forth within their lifetime. But a lot of the promises did not come forth until after their death. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they waited. And they waited. And they waited for the promise of Isaac. Did they wait perfectly? No. But I think there's a lot of meat there to understand. You know, we need to understand that God's promises, and I love how my instructor said this in school, God's promises will be our future reality. We don't have to wait for it then. As we saw in Hebrews 11, you know, faith is the substance of things unseen. The things that we're hoping for, that one day, as the New Testament says, one day that hope, that faith will kind of be moved aside because we will see it with our own eyes. And we will be able to welcome it in. You know, the promises. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, it says, by which we have been given, what kind of promises? Given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Again, these promises help keep us motivated, help keep us focused, allowing us to see ourselves as we don't belong here. We need to be escaping the corruption of the world and moving forward to the beauty of heaven. Seeing ourselves as pilgrims will change how we view life, pain, death. Now, no ship out at sea wants to remain out at sea indefinitely. A ship can only purify so much of its own water. A ship can only make so many repairs on itself out at sea. Why would we desire to stay put in one location? Why would we not desire to move forward? Move on. You know, our life. James chapter 4 and verse 14, the context of it is, yes, making sure our priorities are right. But James says that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and then it vanishes. No, we need to make sure that our priorities are right, that we have heaven as our goal, that we see ourselves as a sojourner marching our way toward heaven. And all the pain, the sadness, the loss of loved ones, of children. Everything will not compare to the glory of heaven. Paul writes to the Corinthian church that, boy, you want a church that had problems? I mean, which one didn't? But the Corinthian church had problems. And he writes to them in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, and he says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. It's not going to last forever. But it has a purpose. It is but for a moment and is working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, our struggles, the things that we go through, they help shape us into the Christians that we need to be. But Paul doesn't end the thought here. He concludes it in verse 18, and he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but rather at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, the pain, the agony, the loss, even the joys that this world can provide, they are temporary. But he says the things which are not seen are eternal. Why would we not be on our journey for those things? Why would we not be spending our time marching for those things instead of filling our back pocket? You know, Paul writes to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, and they're concerned about those who have died, that they're going to miss out on Christ's second coming, that they're going to miss out somehow on the eternal glory that we are promised if we are found faithful. And he says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If those who died in Christ who are asleep are being compared to those who have no hope, then those who died in Christ have that hope. We have that hope of eternal glory, of something better than what this world can provide. And again, Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 52, to stay faithful. Move past this fleshly lust. Move past this fleshly world. Don't give in to the same things that this world is telling you to give in. We don't belong here. We belong somewhere better. You know, we are made in the image of God to dwell in the city of God. We are eternal beings. Yes, we were created, but now we are eternal beings designed and created to dwell in an eternal place. And that's not here. And I thank God it's not here. I don't want to spend an eternity here. I want to go home. And I pray that you too want to go home, because that home provides us a better existence. And as pilgrims, having a heavenly mindset should cause us to desire a better existence. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. Why would they? Abraham and Sarah, they left Haran and they went toward the promises of God. We are called to come out of this world and to leave the things behind, to trust in God, even though we may not have it now. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they left Haran trusting in the promises of God. And it's okay if we don't understand completely. No, we don't want blind faith, but we don't have to have every little detail down in order to have this trust, in order to have this faith. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We don't know every little detail, but we will be as Christ. That is a better existence. Instead of having this fleshly body given to sin, able to get sick, we will be as Christ. You know, as they departed, Abraham and Sarah, as they departed, as those who God commanded to leave, to go somewhere else to fulfill my promises, you know, they moved like pilgrims. They moved and they looked past the immediateness of their surroundings. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they could have gone, oh, we're halfway and that looks like a nice place. Maybe we'll set up camp here. Maybe this is where we will call home. If you remember from Genesis 13 and verse 10, Lot looked at the physical. He looked at the here and the now, and he was satisfied with it. And he saw the trouble that it got him in. You know, we need to learn to look past what our eyes can see. We need to learn to look past what our bodies can feel and what our ears can hear. We need to look for something better. We need to desire something better. And as a child of God, again, I have to ask, why do we try to carry so much of this world with us? You know, in Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham to get out. Get ye out of your country, from your father's house, from among your brethren. God never told him, bring all that stuff with you. You see how it caused him some trouble. You know, the children of Egypt, when they left Egypt and the Egyptians were throwing their gold and their costly raiment, the Israels weren't hesitant. They scooped down and gathered as much stuff with them. And then they took the earrings and melted them down and made a mockery of God. You know, some of those that are fleeing Ukraine, we can watch the news, and some of them are taking nothing but the clothes on their back, because they don't want anything in where they're at right now. They want to get out. They want to move on. They want to find safety. You know, we can be so desirous to keep one foot in the world while trying to run for the finish line. Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship is not here on earth. And I believe sometimes we can be more concerned about the political matters of this world, what countries are doing, what countries are not doing, rather than focusing, what is the church not doing? What is the church doing? What am I doing? What am I not doing? Our citizenship is somewhere grander than what this place can provide. Again, the Hebrew writer, wanting them to understand that they do not need to go back and that they have no excuse. And look what he says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, not just the ones that we want, but every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's time to abandon ship. And we want to bring as many souls with us as possible. You know, a song that I asked Hank if our books had, and unfortunately it doesn't, but there's a song entitled Because He Lives. And there's a stanza in there that says, basically, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, this race, this trouble that we find ourselves in is temporary. It's not going to last. And we need to have the mindset that we want heaven, that we are willing to do whatever God says to get there. No, heaven is not earned, but there are conditions. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We know this. But it is about following God's blessed commands, as we see in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. You know, we cannot be as Lot's wife, seeing a heaven afar off, desiring to be there, but looking back. What am I going to have to give up in order to make it over the horizon? What am I going to have to give up so that I can make it to the horizon as fast as possible? You know, the same mindset, the same theme is found in Luke 9 verse 62. That the man who puts his hand on the plow is not deserving of the kingdom of God if he puts his hand on the plow and he looks back. He takes his eye off the mark. He takes his eye off his responsibility, and he's allowing the things that he's leaving behind to still influence him. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us, do not love this world. Don't love it. Don't desire the things of it. But verse 17, I find interesting. It reminds us, but also it promises at the same time. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I want to abide with God forever. I want to be somewhere better than what this world can provide. And so when we have this heavenly mindset, when we desire and we understand that there is a better existence than the one here and now, we can face struggles in a different light. We understand that there are blessings that this world cannot come even close to providing. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us that blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, why would we want the blessings of earth? Colossians 3 verses 1 through 2 tells us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Again, we want to make it over that horizon. We know it's there. We have the promises. We have the road signs. It's over there. Why are we going to let a flat tire stop us? Why are we going to let a storm stop us? Romans 8 and verse 5, Paul is again wanting the church at Rome to think, to start acting correctly so that they can make it over that horizon. And he says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. This is going to be a constant cycle of denial, a constant cycle of hindrances. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, they're setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. We don't have to think, we don't have to act, we don't have to speak like the world. Why should we? We need to be as that ship that understands, that is full throttle, bursting itself over the wakes of the waves, all hands on deck, let's make it to port. Because at the end of the day, that is all that matters. We have to make it to port. And we have God. We have Christ guiding us. But we can't do it alone. We need the church. We need each other. All hands on deck, plowing forward. Having a heavenly mindset, seeing ourselves as a pilgrim, seeing ourselves desiring a better existence would lead to one and only one conclusion. That we must desire a home with God. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a city for us. You know, when we are buying, when we're looking to buy our home, we're looking to move, location, location, location. Location matters. Setting up a business, moving into a new home with your family. You want your family to be safe. You want your family to be taken care of, to have a future. Location, location, location. But what is beautiful, and I think we pass over this so many times, is that, yes, we may want to be there. I hope we want to be there. But so does someone else. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, also translated as rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? For you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, here's the promise. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Why would we not want to be there? Why would we not desire not a home here, but a home in heaven? A home with God. No, we should not be desirous for the things of this world, putting on horse blinders. I got to make my 41K. I got to have my retirement. I got this. I got that. And we lose focus. And we let struggles. And our horse blinders can either be busyness, or our horse blinders can be made out of our pain and our struggles and our anxiety and our denial. Don't do that. No, we need to be longing, hungry for something better, not being satisfied in the sense that we are comfortable here and this is where we want to remain. You know, Philippians 1 verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul understood his responsibility, but he also understood what he was longing for underneath, to be with Christ, to gain that better existence, to have that home with God. You know, if this home in heaven was alive, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that we are most miserable people if it's not so. But he reminds them and he corrects any kind of ill thought. We do have a home. Christ was raised. We have all the evidence pointing to that home over the horizon. Stay faithful. You know, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, there we understand that if we believe and we obey and we do the things that God wants us to do, we are called. We're given the right, we're given the privilege to become children of God. You know, we have to go through struggles. We have to go through a variety of experiences. Paul tells us that Christ became the first fruits of the resurrection. The first fruits are showing us that we can make it to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. You know, our outlook, once again, needs to see this life as a trying ground, molding us, shaping us into the person that we're going to be. You know, we will not take the pain with us to heaven, but we will take our character, who we become here on earth, our experiences, our maturity. The level of appreciation that we have for heaven's gates. Now, that will be different for each and every one of us. We should desire to be in the presence of the Lord and not just have it as an idea, but truly be in the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 has a quote from the Old Testament, and it begins with telling us to be holy. But in verse 17, it says, "Separate ye selves." Separate yourselves from among them. And then it says, God will not be ashamed to call them his people. And even it says that we will be sons and daughters to God. What beauty, what comfort is in that? Again, returning to 1 Thessalonians, where Paul is wanting them to find comfort. He tells them in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 17 through 18, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." What comfort. What beauty. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, we don't have to have a death wish, but rather a life that is faithful to God. One that is pleasing to him. Again, remember John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you will" what? "Keep my commandments." do the things necessary. You know, sadly, many in this world are blinded by ignorance, hard hearts, blinded by pain, loss, doubt. And they say, this is it. This is what I have to look forward to. This is what I have to live with. It's not true. You know, the Hebrew writer tells his audience that your fathers did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief, because of disobedience. Look, Hebrews 3 verses 18 through 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter in, enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Same word. Different tense, but same word. We understand that we must obey. Matthew 7 verse 21 tells us that we must obey the will of the Father, or we will not enter in. Second Thessalonians 1 verses 7 through 8 tells us that he will give rest to those who are troubled. But also he will take fiery vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a pilgrim, we need to be desiring this destination. And returning to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to the Lord or comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. We must not see this world as our home, nor act in any kind of way that prevents us from making it over that horizon. So as we conclude, having a heavenly mindset, what does it allow us to do? We get to live as pilgrims. We get to be on a constant move, as we discussed Abraham was in the book of Genesis, always moving, always abounding, always looking for the next place that God wants him to be. It allows us to have a better, or a desire for a better existence, knowing that this world is not all there is. Knowing that this is not the pinnacle of what God has provided or will provide. And then also, it should make us to desire to be with God. Having this mindset, looking over the horizon and dealing with the pain, the loss, the ugliness. I want us to understand that your now is not forever. It's not. The joy that you get from the world, if you're abandoning God, that's not going to last. But the pain, the sadness, the difficulties in life, they don't have to be your forever. And this morning, I am pleading with you. I am speaking to you. If anyone has any need this morning, please make yourself right with God. You know, we don't have to make the same mistakes that Moses made. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 51 through 52, we see that Moses was not allowed into the promised land, even though he could taste it. Even though he could almost smell it and he could see it just right there. The last thing we want to be is in his shoes. I had the course. I had the destination. I had the instructions and I skipped out. I let it slide. Please, if you are here this morning and you are desirous to put on Christ through baptism, well, you have heard a small portion of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to build his church, to establish God's rules here on earth. You must repent, turning away from any kind of behaviors, repenting from your past life to a better life. You need to also confess before witnesses, confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You need to be baptized. You need to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection that we see over and over again as an example. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And then, of course, one of the most difficult aspects, living faithfully. Understanding that our now is not our forever. It doesn't have to be. You can move on. You don't have to have those horse blinders of pain or of ignorance. If anyone has any need this morning, please come forward as we stand united and as we sing.